Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I am so fired up.
Christy, a.k.a. Mr. Darkness, is in today.
Governor Darkness to you.
After jinxing the Yankees with injuries, they now suffer injuries. So why not go from that to one of my favorite people on the planet, and that is the former manager of the New York Mets, Mr. Bobby Valentine. Bobby, how you been, buddy?
I have been great. How's one of my favorite baseball and softball players on the planet?
I'm feeling fat and
you
old.
Feel good? Those ribs are good.
Has Bobby seen that play by you in Yankee Stadium?
I'm sure they'll show
quickly.
Can
we get CBS put that up? Because
I was playing shortstop. Yankee Stadium.
First of all, Bobby, stop with that.
Yes, he was playing shortstop. I like him at third, personally. Yeah. I think his range is a little limited.
A little better.
Yeah.
Except I was at third.
Now we really now had we a left-sided infield.
Let me tell you something, boy. Yeah. Nothing but base hits through that hole.
Not the best left side of any infield I've seen.
You know who's at second base?
Who's at second?
Rex Ryan.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
And we had
no range available.
No.
None whatsoever.
No,
although they tried to turn two.
We did turn two twice.
Like Artie Lang was the guy running the first.
Oh, who cares? Two is two.
He fell twice.
How you been, Bobby? You look great. You always look good. It's like you don't work in the summer times as an educator now, and you look fantastic. And frankly, it pisses me off.
I feel great. Why not feeling great? You know, I wake up every day to feel great, and to be with you guys today
An honor.
An honor.
I'm manager in Mets history.
I'm going to be yelled at for asking this question. But I want to ask.
Okay.
When you were at college,
yes,
you were how much ahead of some of those great players were you?
Okay, well, check it out. I signed out of high school.
Right.
I went to the University of Southern California because in 68, if you weren't a full-time student, married or crippled, you went to Vietnam.
Right.
And the Dodgers didn't particularly want to give me a bonus and have me go to Vietnam. So I was a full-time student. In my second year at USC, the season ended. September comes around. I'm a full-time student.
Right.
During the day, I'm playing for the Dodgers at night.
Is that how you did it?
Nice. So 5 days in September, the five home games that the Dodgers had in September, I actually went, got dressed, and was in a Dodger uniform. Yeah. Next day, I went over. Hey, that's a good way to be big man on campus.
That's pretty good.
I never asked this question. I didn't know that part of the story. Yeah. Was your number called? Would you have had to have gone?
Well,
to...
so then the numbers came later in 71 with the lottery. So my number was a high number, and it wasn't called. It was 323.
Got it.
So that was during that childhood of mine. But
so when was like so like
everybody remembers their number,
like,
though, right?
Yeah, Bobby? You got to remember that number. Baby.
Like Fred Lynn Swan.
Yeah.
They were right around the same time, right?
Right around the same time. I was the OJ era, actually, if you want to know. And the
Got
Steve
some
Soggy
there.
Was the quarterback and also the catcher on the USC team.
What was it like being a Northeastern kid and being playing ball as an 18-year-old and under the specter of some of the great athletes in America and USC, of course, being a focal point of that?
Yeah, well, go out to SC as a professional athlete from Connecticut was radical, you know? I mean, I had a leisure suit. I went over to check into the dorm, and when I checked into the athletic dorm, they say, hey, you're no longer registered here. What's going on? I said, well, why not? They said, this is only for scholarship athletes. I said, well, I had one, but I signed professionally, you know? They said, good, you're now in Tootin Hall.
Really?
And I got to carry my luggage in my leisure suit across campus, 90 degrees, USC, and really look cool
Which
doing
is crazy.
That. Huh?
So you're out there, and then because the Dodgers signed you, USC is like, well, I don't know, you can go to school if you want, but get out of the athletic dorm.
But get out of the athletic dorm,
Does
he have any good OJ stories for us?
Wow. OJ story, you know, he showed me around campus.
Really?
I could say that. I ran, you couldn't try out with your own sport. And I was there for a football scholarship and a baseball scholarship, but I ran with the track team. All right, and he was with the Olympic 880 track team with Earl McCullough and others. So that's how they found out whether or not I was a cool-looking athlete. Right. They gave me shorts and a pair of spikes and let me run with the relay team.
So it was like John Travolta in Greece.
Kind of. Yeah, you could do this. Right. Huh? Yeah.
Did you realize just how unfast you were when you saw those guys running the 880?
Actually, I ran with them, so it wasn't so bad.
There you go, Bobby.
That's why they gave me the scholarship.
You shut up about my friend Bobby.
Listen,
one thing I could do is run. You know,
you could do more than that, Bobby.
You had like a 4.44 40. Like, were you could get it?
Yeah, I could get it. I could.
Love it.
We didn't really run 40s in those days, but you know, we ran yards, huh?
Right.
So I ran a 60-yard dash, a 300-yard dash.
Got it. Talking to Bobby Valentine, questions that I'm sure no one's asked you in a million years, because it's typically about, you know, the Mets or about, you know, the mustache, like the Governor Darkness wants to ask you about. So you get there in 68. Now, how aware were you guys of Woodstock the following year?
Well, you know, on the West Coast, it really wasn't that big a thing.
Really?
You know? Yeah. You know, no internet, if you can imagine, right. You know, the 10 o'clock news, if you didn't watch it, you didn't get it.
Do you remember knowing about it happening or after the fact?
After the fact. Well, my friends, you know, who were the East Coast guys who happened to show up, you know, what a thing. It was all cool. And, you know, then you started to buy the albums. So you to get hip with Jimi Hendrix and Richie Havens and all.
That's that time period is fascinating to me, from like 68 to 73.
Mm.
Now, do you remember where you were when we walked on the moon?
I do.
Well, were you a CIA, I imagine, or were you home?
No, I was gone in 69. I was in Spokane, Washington, as a matter of fact, as a 19-year-old trying to play AAA, and I thought I was on the moon.
Sure.
You know? And some of the pitchers wanted me to be on the moon because I was making an error a day.
And what up? Did the guys all get together and watch it?
No. No,
really?
As a matter of fact, no. It was just talked about. It wasn't a
like
TV event.
Flies. Hey, by the way, we walked in the moon. Oh, that's good. I met my wife.
Yeah, actually, there's a newspaper in the clubhouse, as I remember, and the picture of the flag and the moon and everyone talking about it happening, but did
that's
not
crazy.
See it live.
See that? Yep. And I would think most people your age would claim that they, of course, saw it, right?
Yeah,
and you're
I guess.
Out there busy in Spokane playing baseball,
just
trying
playing
to
ball.
Figure life out, right?
Trying to figure it out.
So
you're probably playing a game that night, probably, in the middle of July.
Yeah,
absolutely was playing a game. Probably we played every day.
Bobby,
we played every day.
Every day, baby.
Every day.
Why do you think, I've got my feelings on it, but I don't want to tip you off to them.
Mm.
Why, you've been around baseball for, you know, 50 years.
Mm.
Do you have an opinion as to why so many of these guys are getting hurt? Let's start with pitching first, where it's more than any other era of the sport. Pitchers are going down with significant injuries, whether it's Tommy John, whether it's shoulder related. Do you have a rationale as to why that is?
Oh, it's too radical, my thoughts. You know, I think that they changed the mound and they made it really a hard landing. If you watch the games, you'll see that it's a concrete packed mound now. When you played as a kid, Governor, there was always a hole where you stepped.
Yep,
and you had to fill in the other guy's hole. Same with the batter's box. You had to fill in the other guy's hole in the batter's box. Now it's like concrete. There's no holes.
Right.
So when you land, your foot sticks. It doesn't move. It doesn't slide. And as your arm is decelerating, I think that little slide used to soften the landing for your arm when it pronates. And now it sticks so rapidly, the arm comes quicker, and when it's slowing down, it's more abrupt. And that's just a radical thought, and I'm sure some smart guy is going to say, no, that's not true.
But there's no denying the fact that it's happening more than it ever did.
Yep. It's happening more. The arm has to be coming forward quicker.
Could it be about the weightlifting and all the gym work? Like, I say all the time, baseball players don't have to be like all jacked up. The sport doesn't lend itself to have to be like football does.
Yes.
Because if you had to, you know, move another man out of the way. But in baseball, I don't think having big biceps or triceps makes you a better hitter.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, as much as you do bodybuilding, it doesn't bother your elbow at all, does it?
My bodybuilding is by
Very,
back
very
wins.
Good point, Bobby V.
Now, I know Bobby's here with a company called Winview Games.
Yes, it is.
Which
is
pretty cool. It's big in Vegas conceptually, where it's kind of in the middle of a game, it's predictive, and you get to play along and figure out what's the next play going to be and have some fun with your friends doing it, right?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, it's a new app that's out there. You download it, and during the game, you predict things that are going to happen, hit right. or out, a foul ball, or swing and miss, a take, a stolen base. And
right.
It's interactive
and fun.
It's
not gambling. It's free to do it. It's legal in every state. I should make that point
Thank you. Thank you.
And you can get into a group. Like you can create a group just for your buddies. You can go into a group with random people and kind of test your ability to predict what's going to happen next.
Well, like you might predict that.
That January 19th, I stopped taking your calls.
Absolutely. That's very true. Or you might predict that, you know, the Yankees might, you know, not have as lucky a run as they've had.
That's why we call him darkness. Last week, he's like, well, what would happen if the Yankees have this or that? He can't. Here's what's funny. Now, you manage the Mets. You manage the Red Sox. You get this. There's Met fans can't truly be happy unless the Mets are doing great.
By the way, the Yankees have to be doing poorly.
Exactly.
Right?
And the Yankee fans don't feel the same way, and for good reason, because you know, the Yankees had so many great runs where the Mets were, sadly, you know, not in the picture of
sadly
having a chance to win. So, you know, the Met fans like me that grew up, I was born in 69, where you had the mid to late 80s where the Yankees were not very good and the Mets were.
Yep.
So there was my generation never had a dislike or hatred for the Yankees because they weren't that good in the 80s. Despite winning more games than anybody in the decade, they never had that run like they had, you know, from 95 on.
Oh, I know about that run. And, you know, Met fans really want the Yankees to lose, and the Yankee fans really want to ignore the Mets.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think that's what it is, that they don't really exist. Right.
But you were wrong, because I was very happy in 2000 when we got into the World Series and got a Subway Series.
Well, because the Mets were in it,
But wait, you know what you said before was that Mets fans can only be happy if we're winning and the Yankees doing poorly. In 2000, I was plenty happy. And you know, I still, if Armando Benitez had not walked Paul O'Neill,
great at bat. Give Paul the credit. Don't give the discredit, I believe. It was a great at bat.
If you want to blame
spectacular.
Someone, you blame Timo Perez.
Please, Bobby, I'm still dying.
Let's blame Bobby V. He gets blamed for everything else.
Wait, Bobby V, not on this program you don't get blamed.
Thank you.
No chance.
Thank you, Governor. Yeah,
we're Bobby V
came
fans.
On with Boom and I after that, you know, the Ortiz book came out, and I was telling the governor about it just for background. You know, we all live in the public life at different levels, of course. You know, you're the governor of New Jersey and you suffer the slings and arrows of everyone. You're a manager of the Mets, Red Sox. You suffer with every loss. You know, we do our show. It's a little different. But, you know, people love to just throw barbs at you because nowadays it's anonymous.
Yes.
Like, of all the people that say they hate my show or our show with Boomer and they can't stand what we do, it's never to your face because now you can anonymously have beer muscles and go, you suck, this and that. But you guys live in a world, and it's changing, where you'd hear 45,000 people tell you how much you suck.
Amen.
Right? Yeah. In multiple cities.
Yes, in multiple languages.
Did they tell you suck in Japan ever or no?
You know, it's not part of the culture. No,
Booing
does not happen. No, it's a cheering society.
You loved it there, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. I loved the orderliness, the cleanliness. I loved their baseball because the fandom was true fandom. They were with you for thick and thin. I remember Richard Gere came to a game one day and his son was keeping score. We lost 16-0.
Okay.
His son never left the ballpark. He never left the ballpark because it was still exciting for the fans
to watch
the entire game. Yeah.
And I don't want to be stereotypical, but was the Japanese professional baseball player easier to manage than Major League Baseball players?
Some of them, no. I don't think so. No, they had, you know, their ego guy. They had the young guy who wasn't playing or the old guy who was at the end of his career was miserable. It was all the same thing. They are people playing baseball.
How hard?
Did you have favorites?
Absolutely.
On that 2000 team.
Yeah.
Because that was an interesting group of players.
Yes.
Quite a hodgepodge of players that you might not have looked before the season and said, you know, this is a World Series team. But like, did you have favorites on that team?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, probably. Yeah. And a lot of them were guys that played for me in the minor leagues and now came up to the big leagues, and I saw them do well. And, you know, I was with them longer and, you know, we're good guys. I think winning teams, one of the things they usually have are people who like other people to do well. Yeah. And we had a lot of those guys on the team that didn't mind their teammates being the star.
Right.
What's the hardest part about managing a really good team?
I think the hardest part is understanding the needs when things, you know, when you think a guy's great player and you think, well, he doesn't really have any needs. I remember Reggie Jackson standing behind the batting cage when he was playing in California for Gene Mock. And I was a young manager at the time, and he said to me, "No one ever talks to me around here. They think because I'm a star, I don't need any help. I'm in slump right now. Why isn't anybody talking to me?" And the light went on that even a Reggie Jackson, even the great players have needs, and you have to fulfill those needs. And it's tough to find it sometimes when they are like, so good.
How do you manage the personality?
Yeah.
Like I always poo-pooed Joe Torre's role with the Yankees to Boomer's chagrin. And the way Boomer described it was, He doesn't have to manage them from a standpoint of how to play baseball, because you have no idea how hard it is to manage that level of talent for as long as he did without the really, other than a thing here like with Posada being maybe benched or moving A-Rod to the seventh. Because outside of that, managing those egos in that town is a far harder job than you could ever imagine.
I think a really difficult job. And again, once it gets off track, it's hard to get it back on track. Once that genie's out of the bottle with a star player, it's a very difficult thing to get back in the good graces.
Would you do it again?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think that it's kind of, you know, the WinView app is a good enough way for me to participate in the game, and I'm very good
with
that.
You're healthy, financially you're fine, you have a great job, obviously, but if, like, maybe not the Mets, because I wouldn't work for the Wilpons either. So I respect you. I respect you not wanting to work for them.
He does this all the time.
He does that all the time.
And Fred Wilpon is one of the great people I've ever met. And you've got you sitting there completely running
around. I agree.
What? Which part?
On the part that Fred's a great guy.
Yes. We won't talk about the other one. But there are some.
I like Jeffrey, too. Somehow. I do.
I think you're lying to me on that one.
No, why do you say that?
Because I know Bobby Valentine. And here's what I would say. Bobby Valentine, we're going to talk about him like he's not here, has very few demands of people in his life. Never lie to me, right?
Yes.
Don't talk about me behind my back with something you wouldn't say to my face.
Yes.
And let me know where I stand at all times so there's no surprises. And
that's the surprises not, for sure, you're right.
And that's not asking for much.
Yep.
And I don't think that they ever delivered on those three tenets of how to treat a man.
Well, I think it was a learning process. When I was managing there, Jeff was a very young guy, and he was a first year president of the team, second year president of the team. So, you know, he was learning, and you might be right that he didn't understand everything that a manager needed from him.
And it must be frustrating also, because you want to be respectful of who your boss is, but at the same time, when it comes down to baseball acumen, he's not at the time in the same class as you. So when then a guy starts telling you what to do, I wouldn't have lasted as long as you did. That's all I'm saying.
Well, but by the way, there's no shock there.
No shock.
That you wouldn't have lasted very long.
I mean, like,
it would have blown up by May 15th.
It's 8:25. I'm going to go on WinView and predict that you won't make this show by 9 o'clock.
I got to let Bobby go. He's got many things to do.
Well, I mean, we got to let Bobby go already.
I don't know where else you're going that could be as important as being
here. Down the hall.
Then relax.
To do what?
Then no disrespect.
Down the hall.
We're not leaving just yet.
Bobby doesn't want to go there.
They'll be fine.
I'm going up to Sacred Heart University. I have a lot of work to do before the day's over.
You're done for the year. You're all done for the year.
Oh, stop.
The work is never done.
I love when you determine what other people's work is supposed to be. Because you're so responsible.
As an educator. Now,
you're an educator?
No, Bobby is.
Well, Bobby is. He always was. As a manager, he was.
No, but now it's summertime. You take a break.
I'd like to take a break. It's a good idea.
Yeah, take 2 months.
Let's take
two. Go fishing or something.
What a thought.
I don't know if you fish or not.
I don't.
You don't?
No.
Would you like to go fishing with me one day?
I would.
Nice.
No, you wouldn't.
I really would.
With him?
Not with him. No, I'd like to go fishing.
Fishing is great.
Maybe for 20 minutes.
He scares the fish. He never shuts up.
I'll leave you with one thought, and then I will let you go.
Oh, really?
Bobby Valentine once gave me a piece of advice that I did not adhere to. And we were at a charity event. I did not know he was going to be there. He probably didn't know that I was going to be there. And I walk into a room. Bobby's typical, beautiful, nice jacket and tie, looking sharp. I'm wearing jeans with holes in them and a shirt that probably matched.
Yep.
And Bobby, always gracious, Craig, how are you? Good to see you again. He goes, what are you wearing? And I said, what I normally wear. He goes, you want people to think highly of you. You dress so that they will have a form of proper opinion
That's
of you.
That's right.
And I said to him, at this point in my life, I'm not trying to impress anybody. I am who I am. He goes, but this is a charity event. You should dress accordingly.
That's right.
And we shook hands, and I did not heed his advice.
Well, of course you
never.
Didn't.
But he gave it to me. He did. He said, look, he goes, I'm just telling you, you want people to think of you in a certain manner at this event, you should dress appropriately.
You're a pig-headed SOB. And he knows that. And I'll tell you something else about Bobby V, since we're letting him go. I can't thank this guy enough because he has been a friend to me for a long time. And in politics, you don't have a lot of friends. And every time Bobby V stood up, stood next to me, he's a great guy and a good friend. And you know what? I take him as the manager of the Mets tomorrow. Nothing against Terry Collins. I like Terry. He's a nice guy. But this guy got the most. And that's what I was trying to get out of that 2000 team. That was not a great team by the numbers.
Perhaps before
but he helped motivate that team.
You should put out another proclamation about Bobby.
No proclamation. No, thank you very much.
No, he doesn't want that.
Bobby, with Winview.
Winview, baby. Check Winview. Out Winview Games. It's winviewgames.com.
Get
they're
the app.
They're on Twitter. They're on Instagram. If you think you know what's going to happen next in a sporting event, why don't you get and prove it at winviewgames.com. Always
get the
good
app.
Seeing you, Bobby.
You guys are great.
Thanks for coming, Bobby.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.